Sermon text taken from today's gospel reading. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. The words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus had compassion on the people because they were like sheep without a shepherd. That is, the people were leaderless, and they were searching for guidance. I suppose, as I thought about it, it would be like most of us trying to figure out investments or insurance or retirement plans. We float along looking at several experts in the field, and when we do, we're more confused than when we started and more terrified that we're going to make a humongous mistake than ever before. These folks were like that with their faith in God. None of the shepherds, that is, their religious leaders, could give them any solid answers. But Jesus taught as one who had authority. Think back to our Old Testament reading for this morning. The shepherd kings of Israel hadn't done their job, and instead of caring for the people, and that would mean pointing out to the Messiah and making sure there was right worship in the kingdom of Israel, they scattered the people. What does that mean? Some introduced false worship. Some introduced false gods. Some introduced a commingling of false gods with the one true God. Well, one true God called this an evil deed and pointed to the day when he would set up true worship in the kingdom and set up true shepherds over them. I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king, and he shall execute justice and righteousness, and he will be called the Lord, our righteousness. This is the type of king that Jesus is. He is a righteous king who will shepherd the people into the kingdom of God. It's July, and we reference the prophet Jeremiah, who is in turn pointing us to Christmas, just like Isaiah does. For every tramping warrior, for every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. That is, what he's saying, the conflict is going to cease, and the uncleanness of battle will not touch the Lord's people. And how is that? How is that going to happen? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Here the prophets point forward in time to the restoration of David's dynasty. And that not merely on political grounds, but also on the religious and moral obligations to follow the covenant that God had established with his people. As the prophet Micah foretells, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you will come one for me who is to be the ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient of days. He shall stand," catch this, "he shall shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord and in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace." He shall stand and shepherd his flock. The eyes of Jesus looked and saw more than just a mass of people on a beach. His eyes saw the spiritual condition of those people. Sheep without a shepherd. And sheep without a shepherd are bound to stray and helplessly wander. Jesus saw the spiritual condition of the people, and they were bound to perish without his teaching. Seeing this people in this condition, what does Jesus do? He immediately begins to start shepherding them. He spoke to them of the kingdom of God. He healed the ones who had no strength. And after teaching all day, and it was getting on to evening, the disciples began to get a wee bit antsy, and they asked Jesus to dismiss the people so that they can go and buy food. What does Jesus say? "You feed them," Jesus answers. And their reply is incredulous. 200 denarii couldn't do this. How are we supposed to pull this off? There's no way that this can be done. And, you know, these disciples, well, apparently they forgot about the wedding feast at Cana. They forgot about Jesus' miracles when he changed the water into wine. Or they forgot about him just now healing so many of the sick people and giving them their health back. And Jesus is, on the other hand, he's trying to get them to think of the almighty power and place his almighty power and place their reliance on him and his care. They stop. The disciples stop at the impossibles, and they do not see that the impossibilities are there to make them think of Jesus and the things that are possible for him. Do we do that? Stop at the impossibles and forget to think about the things that are possible for our God, for our Lord and our Savior. It's worth pondering. It's worth thinking about. But what does Jesus do? Jesus proceeds with a miracle. Jesus is not just feeding 5,000 people. He's given a message to the apostles, a message of just who he is. Do they understand yet? No, they don't understand yet. Later they will understand that Jesus is the great shepherd king. The disciples will understand what Paul writes for us in our epistle reading. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. He reconciled us to God through the cross. He preached peace. He preached divine peace. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled. Peace on earth and goodwill to men upon whom his favor rests. The promise of the prophets is born forth at Christmas and is in action before us today. In the person of the great shepherd king. Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ, true God and true man in one person, the eternal Son of the Father, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, to be our Savior and our Lord, a Savior sent to us by the Father to be both man and God in one person, to redeem the world, to save humanity by his very death and his resurrection. This Jesus is the world's only hope. Jesus is the world's only life, and Jesus is the world's salvation. In the kingdom of Christ, there is grace and comfort and the forgiveness of sins, and there is joy and there is peace. He does not deal with us as our transgressions and our sins deserve. He does not deal with us in sternness, but rather he deals with us as a loving and kind Father. What is the forgiveness of sins if it's nothing less than the justification and peace with God? Jesus shepherds us with his righteousness, and he completely obeyed his heavenly Father, who won for us, Jesus, he won for us the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. So your righteousness before God, what does it consist of? Your righteousness before God consists in this, your forgiveness of sins, purely by grace, not on account of any works on your part, but purely by grace, God reckons to you the righteousness of Jesus Christ. In Christ you are pronounced free from sin. That is, you are justified in the sight of the Father. So when you look upon Jesus Christ, understand him as your good shepherd. See that he is the one who has protected you from the roaring lion, who is Satan. He is the one who protects you with his life. He is the one who shed his blood for you. He's the one who leads you to all calmness. As in Christ you realize that you are justified before God the Father. And you are righteousness in the Father's sight, and you are holy, and you are innocent. You are a chosen daughter, a chosen son, a son or a daughter of the King of Kings, the great Shepherd King who is your Lord. Seeing yourself as a citizen in the kingdom of the great Shepherd, you can truly say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall lack no good thing. In that good shepherd's name, amen. And now may the peace that passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds, through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.